The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task, that's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass, it was tipped, it's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5, he'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There it is. We got the maestro on behind the scenes, Nate Brennan. Nate O'Brennan, actually. That's his real name. He won't let anybody know. This is Old School with DP and Jay. We are live from Tanner's Bar and Grill, 30th and Yankee Hill. We are sponsored by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop. Great appetizers, main course meals, dessert, and a butcher shop where you can take stuff home. So you need to also come by and check us out at Tanner's. They got great burgers and Tanner's Lips, what they're known for. So we got a lot to cover. We want to thank Sean again for being on. Absolutely. Us. We should call that thing the power hour, or the hot seat, because we was asking him some hard-hitting questions. Now I get to turn over to you, AD.
Mm-hmm.
And as a former player, alumnus, and we all fit into this fan, Husker craze, you know, crazy. What do you want to see, or, you know, the last 8 weeks from this Husker team and Husker staff?
Yeah, I want to thank Sean Callahan again from Huskers Online and also on3.com. He's very knowledgeable. He's committed to what he's doing. Yeah. And I think that's the word right now, Jay. I want to see commitment.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get it from Mickey
and
his staff right now. Right. I know he's going to get that. But also, there's only so much a coach can say.
Yeah.
Eventually,
you got to do
it. Eventually, somebody in that locker room, where a number of guys need to step up and say, you know what, and take ownership.
Yeah.
Because they can't block, run, and tackle and catch balls for you.
Yeah.
They can pour their blood, sweat, and tears to you. But at the end of the day, it's up to them to make that commitment to say, you know what, if we're going to right this ship, it's going to start with us, man.
Right.
It's going to start with us. And so I think there's got to be some more player accountability amongst themselves. Jay, I want you to – okay, speaking of that, talk about the Unity Council.
Right. Yeah, well, that was huge.
Talk about
what
that meant for us.
The Unity Council was – it was like a board of governors or something to where you always felt like you had one of them watching you to make sure you were in line, but you also had plenty of Unity Council, all of them, where you could go to if you had an issue. Mm-hmm. All of them had been through anything that we had been through, whether it's lack of playing time, so, you know, homesick, grades, or anything like that. So just because they're on the Unity Council doesn't mean that they hadn't went through some lean times. And I think that it was huge for – guys like myself that was from out of state, kind of knew about Nebraska but didn't know the Nebraska way, where they would kind of put their arm around you or kind of around your neck and grab you and bring you along and show you the way as long as you wanted to you know, go along with, you know, how we did things. And so, but the Unity Council was also there to deliver messages so Coach Osborne wouldn't have to deliver messages. And I'll never forget when you know, we were, you know, I guess before I got here, there's some issues down on O Street, and, you know, we were starting to catch some heat, you know, mm-hmm. in the, you know, national media, and we started to take off as a, you know, as a team and as a unit. And Christian Peter and those guys stood up in front of the team and said, if we catch any of you guys down on O Street on Thursday, which, remember, Coach Osborne used to always say, the
most
two nights before
night
the game
sleep.
Is the most important night of sleep,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to worry about the coaches being mad. You got to deal with us.
Got to deal with us.
And that's the type of culture that you can still have with these kids,
yeah.
because they can communicate with each other. You might have to do it a different way. You know, a lot of them might communicate through, like, group chats or text or social media. But then also I do think it can happen. And the ability to have your team ran from the locker room in a good way,
right,
is something that leads to a huge amount of wins and losses, because it allows the coaches to do what they do best,
mm-hmm.
coach. Now, they need to still be there for the players and mentor them. But all the little kind of stuff that can distract a coach or a player or a position group, the unity council, and the leaders within the team.
Right.
Because even though you weren't old enough to be on the unity council, you still were a leader. Because you took me and Ruck under your wing and showed mm-hmm. us, you know, and brought us in and was cool with us.
Right.
You know, and if we didn't have that, we would have just been out there trying to figure it out on our own. We could have gotten in trouble.
Yep.
We could have not figured it out. Then we could have been, well, in this day and age, we could have been in the transfer portal, and here we could have ended up flaming out and just being back home.
Absolutely.
So, you know, everybody's, you know, I was talking about this to, you know, a few people, and they always talk about leadership, and we had some great leaders while we were here.
Yeah, we did.
And you have a great coach like Coach Osborne, and great coach like Frank Solich, great coach like Coach McBride, and numerous coaches. But your best coaches and your best leaders are big part of that is because they have people around them that are willing to be led.
That's right.
And lead with them.
That's right. That's right.
And people don't give that enough respect. They just think, oh, well, great leader. Because if Coach Osborne didn't have the great assistants mm-hmm. that could deliver the Nebraska way in their own way, which mm-hmm. he let them do, and that's leadership as well.
Right.
Then we might not ever hear about Coach Osborne.
That's
you
true.
Get what I'm saying?
That's
so
true.
It's truly a team effort. And I said this last night on Big Red Wrap-Up. I keep saying it, you know, now for this defense to make a drastic turnaround, they have to accept, number mm-hmm. one, accept. And that's mm-hmm. the hard thing for this modern-day mm-hmm. athlete to do. When you accept it, that doesn't mean that you won't get there. You have to accept where you're at right now.
Okay, it's almost like you read my notes, bro. What do I got right there? Acknowledge where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm telling you.
We're brother from another mother.
We are.
Man. Because
I want you to expound on that. Yeah. But I want to say this, because I want you to expound on that right now. Because when you're dealing through adversity, for Mickey or anybody else, but right. for Mickey to come in here and say, well, things are fine. No, they're not fine. Right. I know it's a fictitious movie, Any Given Sunday.
Right.
But in that line, when Al Pacino goes in the locker room and he says, we either heal as a team, or we're going to crumble inch by inch, play by play, until we're finished. He goes, we're in hell right now. He said, we can stay here and get the crap kicked. He didn't say crap.
Right.
But get the crap kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back.
Right.
What you just said is acknowledged. How do you, if you're in that locker room right now, Jay, think about your own 10-year career in the pros. There were times you had to acknowledge, I got to get it together.
Right.
How would you continue to nurse this team and tell this team, we got to acknowledge where we're at right now, fellas. I mean, we're in football hell.
Right.
All right?
We are in the depths of hell
right
now.
We're in the depths. How do you acknowledge it? What does that do when you acknowledge it?
You got to accept constructive criticism and the constructive, you know, celebration in the same way. Don't
right.
just be here and just be all ears when somebody's telling you how great you are, or they're putting you on front of the Husker.com or whatever in the posters, or, you know, not posters
you
anymore.
You got the highlight videos right. on Snapchat yeah. and Instagram, etc.
You
got to
accept constructive criticism
mm-hmm.
because it's coming from a good place and it's only going to make you better.
Absolutely.
That's why you have to accept where you're at.
Absolutely.
And you have to start by accepting, have you played well? Have
mm-hmm.
you played well within the system? And can you play better?
That's
and
right.
Everybody has to do it. Nobody on this team, even though we've had, you know, like we talked about, you know, Casey and Trey and Grant and A.J. Allen and, you know, so forth.
Right.
Nobody's played good enough to say, you know what, I'm above getting better.
Absolutely.
There's not a lot of things I need to work on. And defensively in particular, you have to accept where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. And your first of all, in the film.
No, it does not.
It's definitely not lying.
It doesn't lie.
Definitely not lying. Except where we're at, individually and collectively.
Here's the second thing. Go ahead.
And then come together and say, you know what, we are going to do this again. This mm-hmm. has to be we. We don't have a Grant Wistrom or a Jason Peter and Dominican Sue or Levante.
Or Jay Foreman. Right.
So we have, but you can still be a good defense.
Right.
If we decide to do it together. And once they start doing it, I think some – and I can't speak because this isn't a factual, but I think some guys got caught up in this kind of social media thing where they thought, like, you know, they was just – because they thought the other team was going to be intimidated.
Right.
Because you're the guy that they're all talking about.
Right, looking at highlight videos, right, et cetera.
Yeah. The dudes bite back, yeah, too.
Absolutely.
And they're on scholarship, too.
That's right.
And so once you – and this should be a good break for everybody to check themselves, even through the weekend, and to say, you know, we got 8 games here. We can still have a special season and go from there.
Which leads me to the next point. I got 6 things, Jay, I'm just going to ask you and just tee off the word. Because right, a person with your width and depth of history and knowledge and just the accolades, you didn't go after accolades. You went after accomplishments, and you did it with the hard work. The next word I said, okay, leading through adversity, acknowledge where you're at. The next one is assess where you're at.
Right.
You acknowledge, okay, I'm here. This is
right,
where we're at.
Right.
Now you got to assess it. So, Jay, it's like after a storm. You acknowledge, okay, there was a storm. And then you start assessing the damage of the storm.
Right.
They bring in assessors in.
Our
big Husker brother, William Washington, where there's a hurricane or a storm.
Right.
He goes in, okay, there was a tornado here. Now I got to go and assess the damage.
Right.
So as you're assessing the damage, what are some of the things you're looking at right now? Because you're leading through adversity. So what are the things you're assessing?
Right. I'm looking for an improvement on a day-to-day basis if I'm a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see us get better. I mean, I would encourage every player to have a goal every single day of what you want to get better at.
Absolutely.
Every single day, whether I want to get better at my drops, whether I want to get better at my reads, communication, coming out of your breaks as a receiver.
Absolutely.
Catching it with both hands, not being a body, whatever it may be.
Right.
Or I want – a goal could be essentially that I'm going to be locked in.
Right.
The whole practice.
Mm.
Locked in the whole. It could be something like that.
Mm.
Or I'm gonna practice like this is a game. I'm gonna lock in when I'm about to go
like
in.
This is a game.
Okay. Then I'm gonna decompress when when I'm out. You know, say the other people are rotating in or it's an offensive
right,
series. Then I'm locking back
right,
in. So you have to train yourself to be in game mode. That's what I'd be looking for, and that's what I want to assess as far as where we can come out of it, because those are the things that are very, very minimal and small.
Right.
Like, right, they don't think all you need – everybody thinks all you need to go out and recruit, Anthony Munoz and all these other
right,
we got what we got.
So exactly.
These
are all the ingredients. We can't go shopping
right,
no more.
We ain't getting
there's
right,
no free agents coming
right,
here.
So now we have to be able to add some of our own spices to it so it can taste good. And so if they all decide to do that, they'll be fine, because it's not a lack of talent. It's a lack of mental toughness and mental awareness.
Right.
And – some of that can come from social media. Some of it can come from not having people around that's maybe not
right.
You know, I would strongly encourage any coach, Mickey or any coach in any other university. And I talked to PJ Fleck about this. He does it. Ron Johnson
right,
does this. And he's on TV and radio, but he's in there keeping it real with those guys
yeah,
and keeping them in check.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I would really, really encourage to find adult mentors that have been where they've been to keep them focused. And
that's
we talked
right,
to Sean Callahan about, the potential of the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to get guys to see the bigger picture. They're
that's
thinking
right,
very, very short-sighted
that's right,
right now, and you need to think of both short, medium, and long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And you've already built a somewhat of a foundation here. So why would you want to go start over somewhere, especially if you have your coach here and,
right,
and potentially to make a name for yourself? So I would do that, and then I would get them to see, like, look, we can't worry about Indiana. We have to worry about Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't worry about who's Indiana's running backs until us as linebackers are working as a cohesive unit, defensive line. We got to make sure that we have our fundamentals and feet right and everything and so forth and so on. There is no weekend off.
Right.
This isn't the weekend to say, you know what, I don't want to think about football.
Right.
you just got your head beat in on national TV.
Yeah.
This should be all you're thinking about besides schoolwork and family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. This isn't a fun weekend. Yeah, you might get to sit back and watch some college football, but that should be getting your juices flowing.
Absolutely.
To the point where you're showing up Monday or whenever their next practice is, you know, ticked off at what just happened, and you can't wait to play Indiana 6:30, you know, next Saturday.
You know what, Jay, one thing that you just mentioned, too, it's okay to watch college football. And when you watch college football, I think some players and some people in general, regardless of what we do, they can forget it's a privilege. And I was saying that right. The other day, it's a privilege to play at Nebraska, where it may be. But we're talking about Nebraska right now. So it's a privilege to play for Nebraska. You're on national television every week.
Game. Right.
Every game. When we were playing, it wasn't always that way.
No.
But these kids are on television every day playing in front of the country. You're at a sellout. You haven't had a winning season in 5 years.
Right.
But yet that stadium, I even tell people, even if it's 60,000.
Right. That's more than
winning teams get.
Right. At Illinois, one of my former teammates is their athletic director.
Yeah.
He says the players and the fans don't really realize how good you have it because they're winning more than us. But they're getting 40,000 people.
40,000 people.
We're getting twice that amount, and we're not winning and losing. We're getting 20,000 people to fly all the way across the pond to watch a team play Northwestern, a game that we should have won or thought we should have won.
Yeah.
So the support is there. And which there's an old saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, much is given, much is expected.
Much expected and required.
So
absolutely.
You can't have it both ways where, you know, I wanted to ask Sean about this is when – I remember when Micah Parsons came here to Friday Night Lights, who ended up – you know, he's with Dallas Cowboys and, you know, all-pro linebacker. Well, when he came here, I think he got and it wasn't NIL yet, but he got like 20,000 more Twitter followers just by coming to camp here.
Coming to Nebraska.
Right? Just think about if you came here and played well.
And committed to it.
Through adversity. People in Nebraska will get behind you
no matter what.
So tough when you deal with adversity and come out the other end. And that's all they want you to do is embody Nebraska, never give up, do what you say and say what you mean and go with it. It's not that hard. I think we're in kind of like – I always say we're right now – you know, we fly all the time, right?
Right.
So sometimes it's like flying on a day like today. You know, you fly
– some turbulence.
On the, you know, when you ascend, it's going to be bumpy.
Yep.
But you know, eventually you can get up above them clouds and it's nice and sunny.
It's sunny. It's going to smooth out.
We haven't decided to hit that gas. You know, some of those pilots, they hit the gas through there and get you up there quick.
Yeah.
Once everybody decides to hit the gas, we'll be fine because that means we're all pulling in the right direction and have the same wants and have the same mindset. You know, I think that guys have to be able to have hard conversations with each other, regardless if it's a guy that's a sophomore talking to a senior, regardless if it's a senior talking to another senior or somebody that has a bigger NIL deal or not. You have to – your most important NIL deal, you know what that is? What you do on Saturdays.
That's right.
That's your best selling point.
The in on that helmet is your NIL deal,
That's your best one. You start making plays, you start winning games, everybody's going to have an NIL deal.
Absolutely.
Right now, you don't want people to have buyer's remorse. Man,
yeah,
he can't play dead. He doesn't look like he's focused.
Right.
Well, if you're not focused, if they perceive you're not focused, why would they want you to represent their company?
Absolutely.
So that's why if I was talking to them, I'm going to talk to them on their level,
right,
and figure out what kind of motivates them. You talked about about good recruiters. You know, I think one of the biggest jobs that coaches have to do now with NIL and the transfer portal is every single off week or off season. You have to re-recruit your roster.
Yes, you do.
It makes you – it's going to make you be a better coach.
Yes, you do.
On a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
Because you have to – and then you can't do much coach speak.
No.
Because when you talk to me, you, Mark, anybody, you got to deliver the message and it has to come because they're watching.
Right.
Now, is it fair? No, because there's other circumstances that could dictate whether Jay or AD. Because if the head man says, I want Mark in there, me and you just ain't playing. But at the end of the day, the communication has to be clear.
Right.
And that's something – that you heard Trev talk about 6-9 months ago that needs to get better.
We're going to be on the same page.
And that's where you see where Mickey's knocking it out of the park, where he's communicating.
Yeah.
He's going right to the player, and he's teaching them as well.
Right.
Had a couple players that kind of talked out of emotion. He said, that's fine, but you don't get in front of bring, you know, family issues out here.
That's right.
So he's teaching them life lessons as well.
Right.
So when you're doing that, and then Mickey's trying to – if Mickey's got to approach him about something he's doing on the field.
They trust him.
It's not that hard.
No,
I think sometimes
not.
We've made it too hard.
It is.
You know, look, Coach McBride could deliver a message like no other, but then he'd be right there for you when you made a play, and that's why players loved him.
You know what, Jay? There was a clip
on Saturday's game where Davis was his last name, number
right. four.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Brett Explain Venables. To the listeners what he did on that,
yeah,
what he did.
Brett Venables, it was late in the game,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
a young corner, Davis, was trying to make a play on a pass, and Brett Venables met him.
On the sideline, by the way.
Coaching him hard, but then actively coached him.
Yes.
And explained to him and showed him. They had to be getting ready for kickoff as long as it took. I was like, man, he's going to get – I'm thinking, like, they kicked that ball off. He's going to get his head knocked off. But he was on the sideline outside of the coach's box explaining to him why you would play a receiver a certain position in that coverage in that situation.
Yeah.
And then the player was – he got it about 75%. Then he had one more question. He said, no, look, and then showed him again.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I got it.
Patted him on his head, let him go.
Right. So what he did was he met him with discipline.
Yep.
And then he said, you know what, this is how we're going to get better.
Him.
And then I'm going to show you. So when people say you can't coach these kids hard, I don't believe that. I think you just have to coach them the right way. And if they know if you're coming from a good place, you can coach them that way.
Jay, I've always heard it said, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Without relationship lead to rebellion. You can tell he had some rules there, but there was a relationship. So he didn't rebel. He says, I'm going to see what he's going to say to me. I'm going to take it in. I'm going to take this. And I'm going to say this. Mickey did something I hadn't seen. I don't know how long. Right. He called a whole team huddle on the sideline on Saturday. Everybody got in there. And when you start establishing that, they start seeing that. They start – not just with your words. They start seeing it with your actions.
Yep.
And that's huge right
and
there,
you know,
man.
You know what? I'm going to say this point, then we're going to go to break real quick. You know, I saw Mike Norvell do it when he first started down at Florida State,
mm-hmm.
when he came over from Memphis. And I was like, man, this looks kind of gimmicky, right? And I saw P.J. Fleck do it.
Right.
And he did it, you know, and it's obviously worked out well for him. I was like, Mike, well, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that before every time they go into halftime? What he's doing is getting everybody's attention.
Yeah.
We're coming in as a team. We're resetting your mindset, and we're delivering a message to make sure we're staying focused on the task at hand. Mm. And sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's bringing them to task, or sometimes keeping them in check on how we're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's something that they do during practice as well. So it's something that where those little things lead to big results.
Now,
is it right away? No. But when you're trying to reestablish a true identity, foundation, characteristics of what you're looking for as a player, you need it out of your coaches as well. Generally you say that players embody their coaches. Generally so, within reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when Coach Osborne used to always ask us questions, we'd always be very kind of blah, blah, you know, kind of very, you know, monotone voice. Well, who did we watch all the time? Who did we watch, AD, when, you know, 95 probably drove Coach Osborne? And I bet you Coach Nancy would tell you Coach Osborne ain't sleep 9 months. Where we, hey, 95 team was driving that man crazy. But guess what? Not once did he not look the storm of adversity in the eye. And I'm going to say this before. This is one of the things that stuck with me the most about Coach Osborne, what he talked about adversity. Mm-hmm. He said, anybody can be a leader when it's easier, when you're winning. He said, a true leader is going to take his team into the eye of the storm and not blink twice and not worry about the results.
That's right.
Because he's going to be right there with
him.
I never forgot that, man.
No.
And so
He's going first.
Right.
He's going first.
He's going in at first. They come on with me. This is how we're going to do it. So, you know, look, you know, we got to – I always say this. When we get on the air, it goes by too quick. We're going into a break now. Yep. Nate's going to give us time to pay a little bills.
I got three more words for you, too, to expound on. So
we're going to get him. We got two more segments. So we're going to go to break quick, and we're going to be back in about 5 minutes.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.